You're listening to the Woman's Hour Power List from BBC Radio 4.
Jasmine Whitbread took over as chief executive of Save the Children International in 2010 and is quoted as saying, "A job is not worth doing unless it's scary." She'd worked in the commercial sector in marketing and finance, but moved to the voluntary sector in 1999, starting at Oxfam and then moving to Save the Children. Her pay cut was dramatic. Her yearly salary was less than her bonus had been, but she's one of the women on the Woman's Hour Power List. Jasmine, what's scary about your job?
Well, where the quote comes from was when I was just starting at Save the Children in the UK, I was saying to a friend of mine, you know, I've never been chief executive before, and this organisation does great work on the ground, but really had sort of dropped off of the radar in terms of the British public. This was a number of years ago, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do it. And he said to me, look, I said, I'm a bit scared. He said, well, Jasmine, a job's not worth doing unless it's scary. And I've always remembered that. And I think in my current job, which was about taking all the different Save the Children International programs around the world and merging them into one more efficient and effective operation. Again, faced with that, I was quite daunted, and I thought, well, what if I mess it up? You know, this is a fantastic organization doing great work. There's children's lives at stake here. But I thought of those words, and I thought, no, it's the right thing to do, and it's worth doing.
How hard was it to move from commercial to voluntary for considerably less money?
You know, that wasn't a major issue for me. I do remember, though, when I went into my boss, this is in the States, and told him that I'd made this decision, and he immediately, in the classic commercial approach of the time, offered me quite a large additional amount of money to stay. And I immediately said no, and said, no, it's not about the money, and this is what I want to do. I was very determined to try and make as big a difference as I possibly could, and I felt that that lay elsewhere at the time. But I did call my husband up afterwards and said, have I done the right thing turning down all this money? And he paused for a second and he said, yes, you have.
Now, when you worked for Oxfam, the children were small and you moved the entire family to Senegal. How difficult was it to move husband and children lock, stock and barrel?
Well, definitely do it while the children are small. I've got teenagers now, and they would not be so amused if I was moving continents and ripping them away from their friends and social setup. But, you know, they were tiny, and my husband, I was really lucky that he was willing to give up his job and come over with us and help to get us settled. It wasn't straightforward, and I think it would have been much harder to do without his support.
You describe him as your management guru. What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't know. People always ask you these questions, you know, who's your guru? A lot of people give me advice, but clearly when I go home at the end of a tough day and I'm struggling with, you know, usually it's about people and aligning, you know, large numbers of people behind particular goals and behaviours, and you know, I'll chat it through with him and usually figure out what I need to do.
How do you work it as a partnership then?
So I think it's about making choices about, you know, what each one of you enjoys doing and enjoys doing for each other, how you juggle the different responsibilities. For me, it made a huge difference. I've always travelled, you know, when I worked in the private sector and now with Save the Children, always travelled a lot with my job. And I always feel so much better knowing that my husband, who sort of changed his career so that he can work more from home, is around for the children, which means I don't have to feel guilty.
There seem to be a number of women in senior positions in the voluntary sector. Why is it a fruitful area for women, would you say?
Well, I can tell you, I don't think that it's because women are naturally more nurturing. And I say that because often that's behind the sort of questions that I get. I mean, to be honest, I think the reason why I made the switch is, you know, frankly, a lot of people think about it. You know, never a week goes by that a man or a woman doesn't come and see me who's, you know, had enough in the financial sector or, you know, thinking about switching career. But most people don't ultimately do it because there are tough choices that have to be made. You can't have it all. You have to make choices and you have to be able to give up certain things. And I was just very, very determined. So I don't think it was because I was more nurturing. I think it was because I was more determined.
What did you make of being on a power list?
Well, it was really interesting because I didn't know that this was going to happen, and I think I had the same reaction as quite a lot of other people on the list, having sort of heard their commentary on it, it makes you think about the word power. And what does power actually mean? And then people, of course, say, well, do you think of yourself as a powerful woman? I suppose I do. It's not a label I would have put on myself, but having found myself on the list, I can sort of see why. I think it's, in my situation, I've been fortunate enough to understand, to get the experience, to really understand a bit how power works. Whether it's, you know, how decisions get made to purchase IT solutions in the financial services, or whether it's about education policy in developing countries, is, you know, you have to be aware of the people that you need to influence and the processes that you need to feed into. So understanding how power works enables you to use power to try and push through the results that you're after.
What's the key to being a good leader?
Well, I think there isn't just one key. It's a myriad of different things, and different leaders are needed in different times. For me, though, I've been reflecting on the fact that things are changing so fast, whether it's in technology or whether it's in the international development sector. Even in the time that I've, in the last decade, things have really, really changed. And I think for a leader responsible for an organisation working in such a vastly changing global environment, it's important to continue to learn, to continue to reflect on and anticipate what the changes are, to see what works, what doesn't work, and not get stuck in your ways. So for me, learning is the key.
And if a young woman came to you and said, can I have some advice? I'd like to be you in 20 years' time. What would you say to her?
I think it's about taking opportunities as they come up and making sure that you, if doors are open to you, you walk through them, that you feel, even if it's perhaps not what you were planning, but if you think it's taking you broadly in the direction that you want to go to, don't be too narrow-minded and grab opportunities, things that give you a chance to grow and develop and learn, and keep your eye on the long term.
Jasmine Whitbread, thank you very much indeed for being with us this morning.